Welcome to the How to Get Into Investment Banking podcast. The big question is, how do you get into investment banking if you go to a non-target school with no on-campus recruiting? That is a question, and this is the podcast that will give you the answers. My name is Sajan Doshi, and I'm your host. Welcome to today's episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking. Hey guys, Sajan Doshi here. Just a quick thing before we get into episode 5. I actually cut this episode into 2 pieces because it ran way too long. This is on the case study of PPD, or Purpose Process Discipline, and I'm actually using one of the students that I've coached with as an example, so you could, one, understand how we apply this framework to their journey, but also why having PPD in place is so important. So the first part of episode 5, I kind of go through more of like, hey, this was the purpose of the student, what they wanted to do in terms of their long-term career of wanting to work in the buy side and the short-term steps. And it's really just about, hey, how do you figure out what that purpose is and how do you channel your interest? And then from there, it's like, once you know what you want to do, how do you develop the process of actually executing on those short-term goals? So that's the first part of episode 5. And then the back half of episode 5 is where I kind of go through in more detail of, hey, what were the steps we implemented for the student to follow? And so again, just cut the episode in half because it was running a little bit too long. So episode 5 is going to be episode 5A and episode 5B. But anyway, with that being said, guys, enjoy episode 5. Hey everyone, this is Sajan Doshi, and welcome to episode 5. Yes, we are progressing very nicely. It should be more like episode 100 had I started in 2018 like I planned, but here we are. And excited about episode 5. What's going to happen in this episode? I know last week I talked about purpose, process, discipline, and kind of how I attack my career in banking to get into it. The advice I give to students who reach out to me, and how I think you should approach this journey as well if you want to get into investment banking. And, you know, the one thing that I did in the last episode was, hey, I kind of gave you, more along with the concept, I gave you the why behind it and why it's so important. And, you know, I went through and used myself as a case study so you understood, hey, you know, how did Sajan use this framework in his journey, and how did he maneuver, and how did he attack obstacles that came up? So what I wanted to do in this episode, I wanted to use one of the students I coach as a proxy to help everyone listening and watching to craft their own PPD. So that's what we're going to do in episode 5. But before we dive in, everyone who's listening on Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast, make sure you subscribe to the email list so that way you get kind of the episode guide and you can keep up. And obviously for those who are watching, you know, wherever it's on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, you know, the link is either in the description or in the bio somewhere, so you can just click on that and, you know, download the PDF to keep up. And yes, I do have a you're only one cold email away mug, because that is true, everyone. You really are one cold email away. So, yes, those mugs will be on sale soon. I know people are like, hey, Sajan, I want to rep a Patagonia vest with your logo, or a mug or a hat. So, like, it'll be on the website so you can order your heart's desire and have it in time for Christmas. But anyway, let's dive into this episode and kind of into this thing. So, again, the 3 big things that I talked about: what is a pain point that students have who aren't necessarily prescribed to this mantra of PPD, right? So the big pain point is, hey, students are really confused as how to move. So that means, hey, what steps do I need to take? How do I prepare for behaviorals or technicals? Do I reach out to people? Do I take a back office job just to build my resume? There's a lot of confusion on how to move. More so than that, what are the actual tactical steps that you need to take? And then also, I think a lot of things that people mess up on is, you know, what do you actually do when you're faced with uncertainty, right? So that means is, like, there's a lot of advice out there, but the advice that's being given, it's really given in like an ideal scenario. It's like, hey, do X, Y, and Z, right? It's like, here, I want you to start here, and you're going to do X, then you're going to go do Y, and then you're going to go do Z. But what a lot of the stuff on the internet doesn't tell you How bad is my handwriting, by the way? Comment and let me know that you're going to start at X and you're going to be on your way to Y, but then something's going to happen and you're going to have to like go around and zigzag, and then you're going to get to Y. And then just like that, you're going to be on your way to Z, like, you know, and some other shit's going to happen, and then you'll finally get to your path. What people don't talk about is what to do in these situations, right? What do you do when you're faced with uncertainty, right? What do you do if, hey, you don't get an offer letter, you have to renege, something gets pulled out from underneath you, there's a hiring freeze? You know, these are the situations that you need to learn how to maneuver through that I think a lot of people no one really talks about, right? And if you don't have your PPD in place, these pain points will get amplified. Now, the second thing, shout out to Microsoft Surface for just being really extra. Give me one second, guys. Just delete all of this. The other thing is that, you know, hey, that's the pain point, but what's the issue, right? The issue is no one is telling you how to actually to explain this to you, because what that means is that you can get advice from someone, meaning you can cold email someone, right? You can cold email someone. You can meet, you know, alumni. But the problem is that, you know, you ask them, you know, a question. They'll set up like a little one-on-one, you know, and you'll progress that way. But the problem is that sometimes they're so busy, you know, working their day job and their life, that they're not going to be able to understand the intricacies and the nuances of your specific situation, right? Your GPA, your school, your finances, what's going on with your family. Can you afford to work for free? Can you take a loan out and stay an extra year in school? There's so many other intricacies that you may not be comfortable talking with an alumni about, because they're often very personal things. And they can only give so much back, you know, in a one-on-one setting, in a concentrated manner, right? So that is a problem, is because a lot of students are just not getting, and this is the problem that I'm hoping to solve with, you know, my podcast, is that a lot of students are not getting the clarity. Hey, how do I move past these issues? And if you don't get past these issues, it's going to cost you a lot, which is not getting into the front office, right? Which is what, you know, a lot of you want to do, right? So with that in place, understand why PPD, or purpose process discipline, is so important and to move with this structure. So I'm going to get started. And obviously for those who are keeping up on, you know, you're watching, you can see this pulled up, but folks who are listening, pretty much I just have like a chart I made in PowerPoint. There's one column that says purpose, process, discipline. And on the left-hand side, there's a profile of the student that I was working with. So just a student, non-target, semi-target. I'm not going to say the school, but think of like a Big Ten school. They're a junior, they're a transfer student. So essentially just kind of redoing. You could either get reclassified as a sophomore or just do your junior year twice. It doesn't really matter. It's just semantics. 3-4 GPA. They're a comp sci and finance major. No real work experience. Obviously, COVID had a huge detrimental impact to this particular student. But kind of what our ultimate decision was to, hey, let's drop a major. And we'll get to that in a second. What major do they drop? Obviously, it's comp sci to just end that suspense. Spread out your classes and to stay an extra year. And this was obviously a huge, you know, financial decision as well. But, you know, after we sat down and really looked through the options, we're like, hey, we need to bump that GPA up. It sucks that you're going to ultimately have gone to college for 6 years, because they were a transfer student from a county college. You have to take remedial classes and what have you. So it sucks you have to stay an extra year, but guess what? You're going to have a huge leg up on recruiting. You're going to know all your stuff, and you're pretty sure to get a front office internship, right? So that's kind of the profile of the student. But let me talk to you what's really important. You know, the first step of the purpose, and what was the purpose of the student, right? So the long-term goal was like, hey, Sajan, I want to work in venture capital, you know, whether it's, you know, late stage or growth. You know, that's something that obviously can get worked on over time. And what that means is that it's kind of some of the earlier videos I did on the why, right? People are like, hey, I want to work in banking or mega funds, but it's like, all right, listen, there's going to be a lot of things are going to happen. You're going to actually have actual work experience. you're going to learn things and you're going to have things you're interested in, and you'll realize, hey, maybe I don't want to work in a mega fund, right? Maybe I don't want to work in the industry at all, right? So there's a lot of things that will happen. So that's why I said when I started working with the student, I was like, all right, we get it. We know you want to work in venture capital, but let's not get your heart set on like some exact fund or fund size, right? It's good to have an idea and then kind of work towards that as you progress. But okay, the point being is that, you know, where did this purpose come from, right? Like I said, they were both a comp sci and finance major, and I have a problem with that, you know, and I'll do a video on that another. I have a huge problem with students doing double majors for the sake of doing them. And, you know, I understand you could be interested in two things, but you have to understand like why you're going to college is to get a job. And I'm happy to debate that with anyone anytime. But again, for this student, their interest was in, hey, really huge interest in the SaaS space, in artificial intelligence, and especially now with the way things are moving and with the metaverse and who knows where that's going to go. And kind of the, I feel like there's an inflection point of both hardware and software, and there's so many great companies, you know, incumbents in the space, as well as companies that are being born in this current time period. So I was like, hey, this is like really interesting. You have this inherent background. You love coding. You love working in finance. Now, if we could channel that, there's a ton of sell side advisory firms that focus on tech companies, and there are no shortage of VC firms that are in the space too. So if you could take that domain knowledge you have, you know, it'll work out really well for you in terms of like networking with people in the venture capital space, networking with entrepreneurs, networking with bankers, you know, it'll bode well for your story of like, hey, I want to work in tech banking because I love technology, particularly these sectors. And that is why I want a career, you know, in banking and then later on in venture capital. So again, I know I preach that like, hey, you want to take what you're interested in and how do you translate that into how you spend your time? But here's the problem is that like you can be really interested in computer science and coding and finance. But the reality is that if by taking your Java, C++ classes, whatever, data structure, whatever that may be, right, doing problem sets, unless you're really smart and you can manage the time and you have like a really ideal scenario, you will struggle. Your GPA will suffer. And it's like I said, perception is reality. So everything needs to get built up off of that body of, off of that, right? So kind of my advice was like, look, you're clearly interested in writing code and you love doing your problem sets. And there's a reason you've been taking comp sci for 2 years, but you know, you have no desire to be a programmer at all, right? So you know, you don't want to do that. Maybe you switch to a minor, right? Or maybe you do something else. Like, can you be involved somehow with comp sci on your campus? Or just write code on your own for fun, right? If you're really that interested, you can do something with that world without having it being a major, right? Literally a major where you're taking college credits, right? So again, I don't want to speak to that too much, but it's like, all right, look, we know that you want to transfer ultimately. So, hey, we know you have your kind of certain prerequisites that you need to do, but your GPA is getting hammered. You don't have too much on-campus recruiting at all when you do transfer to the semi-target that you're going to. So, hey, let's forget about comp sci. Let's focus on the GPA when you transfer, because most county colleges to colleges when you transfer, your GPA doesn't go over. They'll take your classes, but not your GPA. So I was like, hey, look, when you transfer over, maybe you want to try the minor, but screw that. Just drop it. Focus on finance. And your overall profile as a candidate is so poor because of your double major, right? It's making you time poor. You can't be involved on campus, whether it's the banking club, engineering club, whatever it is, right? You can't spend time networking, preparing for interviews, whatever it is, you can't do it because being a double major is a time suck. So look, we know what the end goal is, right? We know you want to work in VC, growth, late stage, whatever. And like I said, that stuff plays out over time due to like luck, timing, experience, and what opportunities you get. So it's important that we know where that passion is, right? Investing in tech, whether it's, like I said, SaaS, automation, whatever the case is that, you know, look, it might take time to get clarity. And again, I know I'm just kind of hashing out, hey, this student had this passion. you know, it took us time to get there. You know, it took time for us to sit down and be like, hey, why do you love coding? Why did you want to be a comp sci major? Well, it's like, hey, look, there's a lot that's going on in the world where as a banker or as an investor, you can kind of, you can be involved in that space in technology, but not necessarily have to be a technology person itself, right? You don't need to be an engineer or comp sci major to be a part of that world, right? You can be a finance person and interact with that world, but with a finance skill set, right? Whether it's raising capital or advising companies on M&A or investing into those companies. And I think for students who are able to, you know, successfully be like, hey, I was an engineering finance major, comp sci finance major, whatever, and you have true domain knowledge because you're passionate about, you know, technology, that's a huge win for you when you go interview at these firms, because a lot of times it's people who just have finance accounting backgrounds, right? They don't know hardware and software and semiconductor. They don't have the technical knowledge, right? So it's really helpful if you have that domain knowledge. So again, the point being is that, you know, we took a lot of time to get there, but that's what happens when you work with someone one-on-one. You know, you get to that nitty-gritty with that student and it's like, all right, hey, what's the passion? What's the clarity? What do we want to do? So again, right now, the purpose of what we want to do would not be fulfilled if the student had chose to be a double major and been stubborn. It was like, hey, look, our short-term goal is we need a front. We need you to get into a good sell-side front office role. So then you have a shot at being a venture capitalist down the line. So this was, so I'm going to put a little, that was the purpose, right? It's like, hey, cool. We know what you want to do down the line, at least vaguely, which is, hey, we want to be in venture capital. We know what you want to, what you're interested in. But like I said, what are the short-term steps you need to take to achieve that long-term goal? And you got to make sure you move accordingly. So, hey, let's think about what that process is, exactly what we did. So just like the first thing on my screen, guys, I was like, we got to revamp everything, right? Comp sci has to get dropped. And it's like, why are you taking, you know, multiple Java classes? Why are you taking these data structure classes? It's like, I get it. You're interested in it. But if you're not good at it and you're not doing it directly for your career, then the prereqs that you need to do for that major. So I know if you're comp sci engineering, a lot of prereqs are these analytical, physics and math classes. And frankly, look, unless you're really interested in this stuff is really unnecessary, period. And it's wasting a tremendous amount of time that you could use to maybe work for free for somewhere, right? Let's say you need to build up your resume. You could go work for free as a wealth management internship. There are a plethora of accounting and other kind of general advisory services firms in any regional city, right? Valuation advisory, tax and accounting advisory. And if you're in a position where your resume really sucks and your body of work is complete trash, then guess what? You can't hold your head up high and pretend to be better than those internships. You need something on your resume, right? You can't just sit around waiting for some sell side internship to pop up. You need something to start building up your relationship, your networks, how you perform at work, how you handle external responsibilities, things like that. So, I want to be very clear. No one will care that you were double major. You know, sure, it'll look cool. People, oh, that's impressive. You were double major. I'm telling you, people will look at your GPA, your work experience, your story, and your behavior and technical skill set. Like, period. That is what people will look at, right? And no one will care that you were a double major, especially your managing director when he needs some sort of debt comp page where he's wondering where his PIB is. And don't get me started on PIBs, all right? PIBs are a really great use of paper. I don't care what anyone says. Really, PIBs are a fantastic use of paper, but I'm joking. Look, I'd love to get someone else's opinion on this. I'm a firm believer. I think, look, double majors are great if you can do it. If you can't, drop it, focus on your GPA, and get into banking. I'm sorry. And again, a lot of feedback and stuff I get, I didn't make up these rules. I didn't sit here and say, I didn't make up these rules, right? Perception and selling yourself is always important. And that is why everything I'm teaching you guys, hey, what's your why? Why is your why important? How do you construct your why? Hey, what was my why and how did I develop it? What is PPD? Why do you need purpose, process, discipline? How did I come up with mine? You know, how do you construct your own PPD? Because having purpose, process, discipline is going to ultimately allow you to shape your map. And it's going to allow you to know how to maneuver. What steps do I take? Who do I need to email? How do I prep for this? What role makes the most sense for my career? So on and so forth, right? So that is why the PPD is really, really Really important, right? The other thing that happened was making the decision to spread out your classes and staying an extra year. And look, I can sit here. First of all, I want everyone to know that I did stay an extra year and I did take out a $15,000 loan so I could go work at the sell side firm in Boston that I did in the summer of 2013. And I did do that. And it was a financial risk that I was willing to take because I was willing to bet on myself for my future. So, and this goes back to the earlier thing. I know people are going to be like, hey, Sachin, staying next year at my school is going to be prohibitively expensive. Well, don't go to some random ass out-of-state state school. That's one of the things I don't get. You know, and this is something students need to hear. Don't go to some school out of state just because you think it's cooler or better than your other school, unless it actually is, it is, right? Unless you get into a top-tier university, undergrad, I'd say top 20 is fine, graduate school, top 10, maybe top 15. But undergrad, it has to be top 20, top 25, top 20 to top 30 max. And if you can't get into like a top 20 school, go to your state school. I'm sorry. Like, and I'll take Jersey, for example. There's so many students who can easily go to Rutgers and pay like 15K a year. I mean, it was like 10 when I went to school, but, you know, inflation, right? And they'll go to like Purdue or Maryland or Penn State. Here's my thing. Why the fuck would you go to Maryland or Penn State if you got into Rutgers? And I'm nothing against Maryland and Penn State. Great schools, Smeal School of Business, whatever. Great schools, Robert Smith School of Business. They're equivalent in my eyes. I mean, I think Rutgers is better in my opinion, but why would you go to another state school when you got into your state school? Why are you going to pay 3 to 5X in cost to go to Penn State and Maryland when you could have gone to Penn State? That's just like a, that's like that clown meme, right? There's like, it's like, there's like the four stages. It's like, oh, I thought, oh, like I got into Rutgers, but I want an experience and I don't want to go to school with other kids. So I'm going to go to another state school where I'm just going to be having an experience with other kids just like me who are trying to escape their states, but they're also just kids like me and I'm paying 5X to do that. I don't know if any of that made sense, but point is why would you go to another state school, pay out-of-state tuition and rack up debt at like 7 to 10%. I don't know if it's like, you know, whether it's FAFSA, Direct Plus or private, but interest rates may vary. Why would you do that? I'm getting very off tangent, but I'm very, very, feel very strongly about this. So again, if that comes up the issue about loan costs, well, guess what? I told you not to go to an out-of-state school unless it was a really top school. I've been saying go to your state school and either do well enough your first year so you could transfer to a much better school, or make sure you do the best you can in your situation, which is, again, your body of work, your GPA, perception, work experience, your PPD, have your plan in place and attack it vigorously, right? Like, that's what you can do. So I say all of that to say I don't care about loans, right? I get it. They're expensive. But guess what? When you get that job in banking and then on the buy side or whatever, you'll be fine. So the TLDR of this is that I don't really care if there's going to be extra loan monies taken out because you don't have a choice. You can't assume something's going to break your way, right? And you might need that extra year. So look, it's possible, but you always want to plan for the worst case and staying an extra year mitigates that. Now, there are a lot of people who stay an extra year and don't do shit about it, but that's because they're not moving kind of. They're not moving with a PPD, right? They just think, well, let me stay an extra year and something will change. Well, something will change if you make the change, right? So that's important. For those of you who are wondering, I'm not drinking coffee. This is pre-workout. So there's that. Yes, pre-workout at 2 p.m. So remember, these were decisions with this particular case study. This was something that was like before COVID, but we had to do this because remember, this is a longer term game, right? If you want to go to a top business school, there are people who've gone in with a 3-4, and I guess now standards are getting looser or whatever the case is, but guess what? GPA matters long term for things like grad school, right? And this is all a game and you have to learn how to play with the rules. And there's no point in being a contrarian. I'm sorry. Unless you have the power and the money to be a contrarian, don't try to be different. I'm sorry. This goes against my very ethos of like how to maneuver in my personal life. But guess what? There's no point in trying to be different. So the reason going an extra year made sense was like, yes, it'll help with networking, time to boost a resume, time to boost your body of work on your resume, time to boost your GPA. But this was also a longer term play of like, hey, if you need to go to business school, you need a good GPA from your undergraduate school. So that's why I was like, hey, staying an extra year is also going to help with that. The other thing that I do not get this. I'm sorry. And I feel like I'm going to get a lot of crap for this, but intentionally taking easy classes. People are going to watch this and they're going to kill me. They're going to be like, Sajin, like you're giving students, you don't want students to learn. I'm not telling students I don't want you to learn, but what happens is there are a lot of professors out there who want to make your life a living hell and they want to make shit really difficult for you, not understanding that jobs, they only care about GPAs. I'm sorry. Like, there is a reason if you like, I'm sure if you do some sort of like audio search on my podcast, I will be saying something to the akin of like, they care about GPA more than anything. GPA is king. GPA is all that matters. GPA, GPA, GPA. I might as well get GPA tatted on my forehead, right? Because that is all that people care about. So take easy electives. Shout out to Rate My Professor and other similar sites. And look, this is unfortunate that we have to resort to this, but there is a talented student. There is a talented student out there, and it might be you. You could be that talented student out there who will not get into banking because of a marginalized GPA and or without materially changing your GPA. Whose fault is that? Is it your fault that, you know, you wanted to learn, so you took a hard valuation class, you took a hard accounting class because you really wanted to learn and you were excited and your teacher was just being me, like that you weren't taught properly or whatever the case is. It was just a difficult class and you got a B. You got an 80. You got an 85. That's not bad. But guess what that's bad for? Depending on how it's weighted or how many hard classes you take, it's going to impact your GPA. Now, chances are you could have learned that stuff on your own. You could have taken those elective classes your senior year when you have an offer locked up, whatever the case is. The other reality is you have students trying to take six to eight classes and do co-ops and stuff during the year. That makes no sense, right? Even if you sleep 6 hours a day, you're, you know, between commuting, walking around, eating lunch, that's another 2 hours, working out, maybe another hour. Classes, that's another 4 or 5 hours. That leaves what time, right? You add in like a buffer of 2 hours of whatever, you know, how do you have time to do shit if you're taking 6-8 classes? It makes zero sense, right? So that is why you need to spread out classes, take easy classes too, easy electives, leave your hard classes for later. And again, don't hate me. This is the game of recruiting. Don't hate me. Like, I didn't create these rules. So, hey guys, Sajin Dosha here. Just a quick thing before we get into episode 5. I actually cut this episode into 2 pieces because it ran way too long. This is on the case study of PPD or Purpose Process Discipline. And I'm actually using one of the students that I've coached with as an example. So you could, one, understand how we apply this framework to their journey, but also why having PPD in place is so important. So the first part of episode 5, I kind of go through more of like, hey, this was the purpose of the student, what they wanted to do in terms of their long-term career of wanting to work in the buy side and the short-term steps. And it's really just about, hey, how do you figure out what that purpose is and how do you channel your interest? And then from there, it's like, once you know what you want to do, how do you develop the process of actually executing on those short-term goals? So that's the first part of episode 5. And then the back half of episode 5 is where I kind of go through in more detail of, hey, what were the steps we implemented for the student to follow? And so again, just cut the episode in half because it was running a little bit too long. So episode 5 is going to be episode 5A and episode 5B. But anyway, with that being said, guys, enjoy episode 5.